The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
As a servant. So that's why you must be a responsible person in church. And responsibility demands, in fact, let me say this to you, be that person that can enter the church and look for a role to play. Be that person. Some of our churches are young, you see, and some things are not yet set. They ask yourself, what can I do here? Can I be an usher? Can I set up decoration, whatever? Can I be in the creative? Can I set up a creativity unit? And then things are working in your church already. Ask yourself, where can I be of help? Serve as unto the Lord. I like you to always imagine that Jesus is the pastor of this church and is the one that told you to do whatever. Will you always be here? You will. Serve as unto the Lord. I get the point. Perhaps let him that speaketh speak as what? An oracle of God. You must speak like unto the Lord. You're doing it for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a great thing to serve him. So let's continue with this. Maybe start winding down from here. I did that to get you. I did. Praise God. And so, another thing you must know about all proper behavior in the church. Now, I've touched the issue of leadership, right? I've touched the issue of honor. I've touched the issue of how we must see oneness of passion, why you must see people in church. You must see them as brothers. I've touched the issue of how you must be in church. You must be in church as a son. You must be in church as a student. And now I said you must be in church to serve. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to say again, you must be a deliberate, committed giver. I chose my words carefully. Be a deliberate, committed giver. I said again, be a deliberate and a committed giver. Be a giver. You see, not just a giver that gives once in a while. A giver that is deliberate about his giving and is committed and consistent about it. You know, I always teach us this. Have a giving culture. Yesterday in church, and now this now, today, that's now the first day. You're in a new day. But I was teaching about tithes and first fruits. Some of you remember, right? And when I was closing, I told you guys something. I said, the fact that we are done with, you know, the tithes is the Old Testament and what have you, does not change the fact that there are things we should adopt, and giving is one of them. And I touched the issue of percentages yesterday. Put up 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Let me put it this way. Must we give our 10% to God? Must we? Can we? That is the point. Look at it. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him. You get the point? That there be no gatherings when I come. What should they lay in store? As God has put up NLT. What I'm trying to say is, you must be a giver, but not just a giver. Be a committed one. Be a deliberate one. You see, and one of the ways I teach that your giving can be effective for you to have organized funding is to give consistently, deliberately, and possibly by percentage. Look at this. On the first day of each of the week, you should each put aside what? Come on. A portion of what? So there should be a portion of money that you earn that you must put aside for ministry. That's culture in the church. Where's the first of the week? Which day is that? Sunday. That's when they come to worship. He said, first of every week, set aside a portion. That's what we do here. That's what we call partnership. Just the only difference between this and the Old Testament is that in the New Testament, we allow you to choose the portion. The Old Testament says it must be 10%. New Testament says you choose the portion. I didn't get the point. So you can decide, I'm going to be giving 20% of my money every month, 10% of my money. We call it partnership. Be deliberate about it. But I said in my note, I said, be be a routine giver. Be someone that gives by routine. You see, it's not just anytime money enter my hand I give. No. Have if you treat it like that, either you forget to give or you will give and regret it later. Ever give you money, you regret it. Because you're just giving carelessly. You should have an organized kind of giving. Every month, I give 20% as partnership. I should give to my pastor. I'll give 5% of my income to my pastor. And then that is it. Then, if another thing now, I'll give 5% to the certain extent that has a need. You get the point? If anything that comes up within the month, it will be treated as an emergency. You respond to it like that. You get what I'm saying? Have that kind of organized kind of giving. That way, your finance can be organized. You get the point? He said, every one of you should put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect all at once. What was he addressing here? They made a pledge. You observe that? He said, before I call people to gather the money, I won't talk about pledges here because a lot of you, it's not a pledge. How much will you give? 5,000. And you forget it. It's a mark of irresponsibility. And the painful thing is that for many of us, when we were under the law, when we make that kind of pledge, you redeem it. If not, stone that will strike you to death. But then now you think you have knowledge. You now just say anything. And I told the pastors this evening, I said that to Bolo when I was at the Bolo. When you always say things that you don't do, you are training your heart to disbelieve your words. You get it? But they are training your heart to lie. You're training your heart not to believe what you say. And once your heart doesn't believe what you say, even when you be confessing, I'm healed, your heart doesn't believe that you're saying. You get the point? But even Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and let what? Your no be no. If you say, I'm going to give 3,000, give it. I'm going to give 20,000, give it. That's why some of us made partnership commitments. Please redeem it. Be consistent with it. That's what I'm saying. What's in Enugu here? I've come up with it. Like every last Sunday of the month, which I'll be doing tomorrow, I'll be praying for people, all our partners. You see, be consistent with it because I'll be consistent with the prayer. Be consistent with it. What I'm saying is, do it. Don't just talk and just leave it. And let me tell you what unredeemed pledge is, what it will do. Unredeemed pledge is the reason for many uncompleted projects in church. You see, here pastor say things like, we're going to do this, that 2 months later we've not done it. It's because there were pledges that were not redeemed. Either the projects are uncompleted or they are totally terminated. I don't get the point. You see all those things your pastor said he would do that you guys have not done it today. It's because that pledge you made, you didn't redeem it. And let me give an advice. Don't enter 2020 with debts. And how to do it is not hard. Start now. Little by little. In fact, because the reason why the pledge has, the debt has piled up, I'm talking to somebody, the reason it has piled up to this point is because you left it for the past 3 months. Little by little, 5,000, 3,000, glory to God, 4,000, is going down. I'm telling you, because if you don't do it, what you find out is, you will not live in guilt because you think you have knowledge, but you just know what you're doing is wrong. You get the point? You know you're just talking something. You know, do you know why we ask us to make pledges and write it? Because when you make those pledges and write it, it helps us plan. You get the point? It's just like we're planning for Zoe now. Zoe is costing close to $1 million. Some of you that came earlier, saw us having a meeting here. It's costing up to $1 million. And you now pledge, I'm going to give 200,000. We are now happy. We'll now start waiting for your money. I will not ask you the money. Hallelujah. And what will happen is, and you know, church is voluntary. It's a voluntary stuff. So nobody's going to come and beat you. That's it. It's the truth. And I was telling them in church, maybe we'll start pasting names or calling names. If you hear your name, just know that you're owing us money. But do you know I do this thing? Some of them they're still growing. I don't need to judge you. But some of the people that worked with me close in leadership. You know, whenever we're in a team, working in a team, and you make pledges, you must redeem it. I will ask you, stand up, where is your money?
So is it biblical? Very, very. Bible tells us Jesus was supervising the offering. That's why he saw the widow put that amount. You see, pastors, I'm not saying you can't sleep inside the offering box. If somebody is asking, but you see what I say? If you get very close to me, I can do this thing to you now. That's what I'm talking about. I was talking about correction and growth. If you get close to me and I know you are earning 700,000 and your commitment is 20,000 or 30,000, I will ask you. Are you getting the point? If you are not one that will tell me, okay, sir, why is like that? Is this? But I will ask you. You say, sir, why will it be your business? It's my business. You say, why? Because the Bible says you should give as God has prospered you. What that tells you, that the more God prospers you, the more you should give. Why did Jesus say that woman's money was the biggest? Because she gave everything she had. You get the point? Pastor. It's good. So you give. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. You know, I just talked about giving below your level. You know, you can give below your level. Don't be like that. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 7. I'll touch this thing I said now again. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. You know, sometimes when I begin to talk about some of this, I'll ask you, why did you do this? Somebody will be asking, is it your life? Let me tell you guys something. The day you got saved, it's no more your life. It's our life. So next time you ask me, is it your business? Yes. It's my business. It's our life. Say Christ is our life. Say Christ is our life. You've forgotten. It is our life. So don't ask me, is it your money? Yes. Can I correct you over how you use your money? Yes. It's not just about giving in church. You get the point? I've seen cases, but Paul corrected it. I've seen cases, you see somebody, a man that has money, but then, have you seen such cases? He's busy spending the money outside. His family is starving. Have you seen that kind of thing? If he has a pastor, you should call him and say, yeah, oh God, what God? The Bible said, this same Timothy, he said, if a man cannot provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel. So you correct such people. That's so we can talk to you about your money. That's what I'm saying. You get the point? So I can tell you, see, your giving has to upgrade. And you can now say, no, the reason is because the guy said, okay, fine. All this should be done in love. And that's why it's not even that would do. That's why I said, it's your pastor, not just any pastor in the world, the pastor you're submitted to. Now, don't get me wrong. I know some of these have been bastardized. One of my friends spoke to me recently. I told him I would tell this story on stage. He told me that the pastor he met, all these pastors that are popular on Facebook, shaking the world on Facebook. So he met him, and they even met, asked the guy to pray for him. So the guy prayed for him and said, why not become one of our partners? So he agreed. I began to partner with them, you know, monthly partnership that we do here. So he now said 1 month, said he was so broke, so he didn't send the money. So the man sent him a text. If I call him of this one, all of you know him here. He's very popular on Facebook. He preaches grace. You know, when it comes to money, everything changes. He sent him a text and said, see, so you've not sent your partnership for this month. I'm going to block my angels and stop them from prospering your business. I'm going to withdraw my angels from you and from your business. You know, I was like, some people pass me in this ministry, you know. I've not reached that level. You know, it can be, so I know things have been bastardized. A lot of mistakes have been made about this, but it doesn't still change the fact that we are givers. I get the point. We are givers. So you look about this. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves what? That's why after messages like this, I will not ask you to give. Do you know why? So you don't follow the pressure. So when you finish it, digest, let it enter. You now decide in your heart what you have to give. That's what you do in partnership. You get the point? Decide in your heart. See what I'm saying. And that partnership, for some of you, next time you fill that form, because we're going to refill that form in January, one of the ways, if you are a salary earner, one way I would advise you to fill it is to fill it by percentage. You got to say it? You got to say it now? If you are earning 100,000, before you just write, I'll give 80,000. Calculate that if you give 80,000, it's only 20 that's left. You get the point. So give a percentage. So you can say, well, I want to give 20% of my income. So you don't write it there. So you're not going to 20% is 20,000. So you now write 20,000. That means that tomorrow, if your salary increases, I get what I'm saying. Does the Bible expect the rich to give more? Yes. 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded or trusting on certain riches, but they be rich in good works. So when you are rich, you must be rich in good works. I get to the point. So that's what they expected. So the richer you get, the more we give. So I'm a giver. So you give to the church, that's partnership. You give to your pastor. Amen. See, it can be very painful when you hear pastors say things like, I don't have money. Let me rewind. Should I say that? Should I say that? You give to your pastor. Let me rewind back to something. Let me just say something about honor. Touch your neighbor, say, honor your pastor. And one way to honor a man is giving. Hope you know that. That's one key thing. Honor your pastor, giving to him. I was telling them at Onsok, I said, sometimes your pastor goes for an outside meeting. One message. Maybe 1 hour message. They'll give an honorarium of 150,000. One message. And this same man has been preaching to people in church 6 hours on Sunday. You guys are even the ones begging him to stop. 3 hours on Wednesday, and then there's been nothing. And that's very wrong. That's why I told you guys yesterday, I said, you see, you as a person, put your pastor on your personal payroll. Put your pastor on salary. Don't go and tell him, oh, sir, you're on salary in my life. No. But the Bible said, remember, you saw that scripture, elders that do their work well should be what? Which is what? Paid. Paid. And I told you, Paul uses the word paid. He didn't say they should be given to. He says pay. When we talk about pay, that talks about wages or salary. You get the point? It's pay. Decide. You see, some of you, you've not learned how to give to your person. And it's a very terrible thing. It just shows we are not yet growing. And so sometimes you see pastors in some places, they are starving, they are saying, I don't have... I told you guys, the purpose for tithing was what? The priest. Remember I said that? It was the priest. And the fatherless and the widows and all that. But priority was the priest. God didn't want them to, because they didn't have any work, so you were going to provide for them. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if I'm not mistaken, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 11. Let's read it. We're going to read together. We're going to echo together from the screen, all of us. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Since we have planted... So he said, are we not entitled to what? A harvest of what? Physical food and drink. I get the point. Look at the word Paul used. What did he use? Entitled. What do you mean to be entitled? Is his right? I didn't get the point. Is his right? And that's why you must be like that. Look at verse 12. If you support others who preach to you, shouldn't we have an even greater right to support them? You see what Paul is saying? He said, you people support others. It was only Paul and Barnabas that were not supporting. So you notice people are like that. If you support others, everybody you are giving to them, but when it comes to your pastor, we host guest ministers in this church and we have a culture to treat our guests well. You get the point? So we're going to be hosting a guest very soon. If you notice some of you that are planning to work closely with us, you find out that half of everything we are spending for the program is on the guests. You get the point? Now the question is, if you are going to treat a guest minister that good, how will you treat your own pastor? I don't get the point. Paul said, if you give others, shouldn't we have an even greater right to be supported? Let me tell you, all I'm trying to say tonight, I'm not saying it because, let me show you this. Paul later told them, say, I'm not saying it so that because I need anything from you. I'll still get to that Philippians 4. That'll be later. You get the point? Touch your neighbor, say, honor your pastor. Say, don't despise him. Do you know, I met a church a young church, a church of about 40, 50. Young church. And the pastor is a young guy. He's not mobile. He doesn't have a car. So I found out that every Sunday, he always comes to church with a car. Every Sunday. So one day I asked one of them, I said, why do you guys do this? Because every Sunday, they have a particular car. A Jeep or so. Was it a Jeep? Church every Sunday. And so I asked them. They now said, we are supposed to buy our pastor a car. But even if we cannot buy him a car, at least let him not trek. I didn't get the point. And I told him, I said, you guys are a church of honor. Let me say this to you. I didn't say this on talking about honor. You see, honor your pastor in his house. A man of God once said, when you see a pastor well honored in his home, he performs the best when he goes out. You know, when a husband is well treated in his house, you get the point. He walks with pride outside. Is that true? That's honor. I heard a man of God say this, and I think shocked me to my bone marrow. I never thought of it that way. He was talking about Nigeria. Not in Nigeria, I'm just talking about Nigeria. He was talking about Nigerians that are doing well all over the world and all that and all that and all that. As in pastors. Now, we have big shots here. And he now said that the Lord told him that another nation he mentioned, they have powerful men of God, but they're not relevant on the global, at the global scale. He said the Lord told him that the reason is simple, that Nigerians have a culture of honor. That nation, until they learn to start honoring their leaders like that, like Nigerians, that their leaders will never be recognized in the outside world. And that thing is true. You get the point? Honor your pastor. Honor is in action. Any simple thing. For instance, this is, I told you honor the first protocol. This, our church venue. This is the pastor's seat. I get the point? Why is this the pastor's seat? Can't he just sit anywhere in the congregation? Yeah, we have to give him seats. Are we not the same? Do you know, we should even come to a point, this seat is not even proper to be a pastor's seat. How are you going to talk about? She's workers retreat, we called it. So I'll tell you everything. It's not proper. Why is it not proper? Is he not sitting? Is it not one butos that he's putting on it? It's not proper. That's why you must come to a point. And you notice because, you know, your pastor goes out, you know, everybody's just worshipping him, honoring him, sir. Sometimes we even want to come in, they throw red carpets. We want a place where they dishonored also. I've gone to a program that they use bicycle to come and pick me. So I've gone to such some of those meetings. But then, be a man of honor. We must be a church giving to honoring our pastors. And one of them should be in giving to them. I get the point now. Giving to them. Most of your pastors, all your pastors in this ministry are volunteers. Nobody's being paid, at least for now. We still pay them all. You get the point? I'm not that kind of person that says, you don't pay pastors. It's not true. You pay pastors. The Bible says you should pay pastors. Amen? But then, at least for now, the volunteers, you must make sure. Have you ever thought of it? You know, how does your pastor cope? Some of you come from different centers here. So how does this man, how does this lady even cope? How does, you get the point? Okay, but then even what if your pastor is rich, should you give to him? Why? For their work's sake. Remember also that esteem them highly, honor them for their work's sake. Let's see the next verse. Verse 13. Paul said, don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple, and those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. Now verse 14, let's echo it together. 1, 2, 3, go. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be what? By those who benefit from it. He said the Lord what? Ordered. It's an instruction, it's an order. There's no suggestion. I told you guys in this church, I said, the things we see in the Bible are not suggestions, they are what? Instructions, they are commands. That's how to treat the word of God. He said the Lord has ordered. So see, begin to pay your pastor personally. Start it. I get the point. Do have a routine about, not just end up when end up, have a routine. Have a routine about it. Be a disciplined giver. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, let's. Okay, Philippians 4, maybe verse 15. Let's just read it and leave this giving matter. So you give to the church, that's partnership, you give to your pastor, Philippians 4, 15. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help. You know why I normally read this scripture? Because I've heard people that read that, you know, in that first Corinthians we read now, Paul told them, I have not used this right. So Paul didn't take anything from them. So people have read it and say, pastors should not be collecting money. Even Paul said he didn't take anything from the churches. That's not true. There were churches that Paul did not take anything from. Do you know why? Their disposition, their attitude. You get the point? There are programs you go to. I think it was Reverend that told me, he's as big as he is. So he went to minister somewhere after preaching. They gave him an envelope, 2,000 naira. He said, if I told me, he said, my offering was bigger than the honorarium. You know, that kind of, you know what he did? He just took it, went to their offering basket and put it there. And went to. You see, that is high level dishonor. Don't tell me. The guy's feeling is free. Give it free. You see, you better shut up your mouth and get out of this church. Will you keep quiet? Stop that. Stop it. Did the person threaten to come? Even if he threatens to come, let me tell you something about honorarium. Honorarium is honor, right? What is it? Honor. So, honorarium is not transport. It's not let's calculate how much he spent to come. Let's give it to him. No, that's his transportation. It's your work. You invited him. You should transport him. Honorarium is to give him what is befitting of the honor upon his life. You get the point? At least to the capacity you can. Are you still here? That's what you give to your pastor too. Look at this. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. This will not be said of our church. Hallelujah. All our churches must be like the Philippian church. Amen. Look at verse 16. Look at what it said. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than. So they were consistent with this. They didn't just give once and stop. They were always doing it. Now, verse 17. I don't say this. That's what I want to show you. I'm not preaching tonight. Amen. But I wanted to bring money. Look at this. He said, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Are you here? Yes. It's not like, what is that reward? I've taught you now, you'll be rewarded at the name of Christ because you're obeying the Bible, you're a giver. But then secondly, there's another reward. When that seeming reward, you can be prayed for. Hope you know. And Paul did it in this verse 18. At the moment, I have what? And more. He said, I have all I need. And was it because he was a tent maker that I had all he needed? Why did he have all he needed? Look at that verse. I am generously supplied with what? The gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. So it was what they gave to him. So they so much gave to this guy that he told them one day, said, see, for now, you don't do. I have all I need and more. It was up to that point in giving. Create a routine. You know, we have pastors in this place. Some of them are shy. They're not as bold as myself. They cannot come and tell you, must give. See, some of you that are leaders in that church, minister in that church, create a routine. He doesn't have to come and say, see, no, create a routine. How is he doing? How is he eating? How is he coping? Create that routine. Go and be, I get what I'm saying? Create a routine. Be wise. Have sense. You get the point? Give to your pastors. Create a routine. And then, of course, you must give to the saints too. Remember I told you that? In Romans 12 verse 13, he said, distribute the spirit of saints. That's why we are family. You give to the saints. You see, somebody has a need, you give to the person. It is fine. Let me teach you one way to come to church every day. Is if you are coming, this coming Sunday now, after preparing, carry your Bible and everything, ask yourself, what can I do today to help somebody in church? You get the point? You don't have money, it's okay. What can I do? If I have a children church, for instance, can I just buy a pack of cabin biscuits for the children church? I get what I'm saying. Or can I take an extra 50 naira, hoping that somebody will not have TV to go home? I get what I'm talking about. Distribute in some sense, be a giver. That's what our family is. A proper behavior in the church. Okay? Then, The last thing I'm going to say, but this last thing is long, so don't think I'm closing. But then it's the last thing I'm going to say, and everything I'm going to say will come under this, is please, part of proper behavior in the church is to honor church meetings. I'm talking about honoring ministers, right? Honor church meetings. And I'm going to rush through that shortly. Honor church meetings. How do I honor my church meetings? What I mean, honor every church meeting. Wednesday class, Thursday fellowship, Thursday Bible study, Sunday prayer meeting. Sunday, honor every church meeting. Because the honor you place on a meeting will determine how much that meeting will bless you. Let me give an example. How many of you know that Zoe is coming? How many of you were in Zoe last year? How many of you are blessed last year? Who preached in Zoe last year? I preached. Other pastors preached too. Is that true? Why are you more blessed in Zoe than you are blessed in your everyday service? The way, the value you placed on that service. As simple as that. It's the same person that preached. It's the same thing that we'll say. In fact, in Zoe this year, it's the same thing that we've been saying in church every day. That we'll say again, you'll be more blessed because you've placed value on that meeting. If you can place value on every, because you not value your church meeting. For the church meeting, you guys are just 10, or you're 15, or you're 20, you know, and all that. This is a small meeting. And that's there in your mind. You will not be blessed. So honor church meetings. And one of the ways to do that, first of all, is you pray for the meeting before the meeting. This is not just what we say. Pray for your meeting before they come. Pray for your meeting before they come. I'm not sure scriptures about that. We already know we should. And that's not just what we say. When service is coming, pray for the meeting. That's the story I normally tell. Those days when I was at Abwani, before we even, there was a day we came to church. I normally tell this story. And then from the opening, you know, we always have a free flow of the Spirit in our meetings. But this very day, from the opening prayer, come on, it was like, this was around 2016, 2017. It was like there was just this crazy spiritual move among us. I noticed that from the opening prayer alone, everybody from the worship session, I just knew. And I know there can be no smoke without fire. Get the point? So I came up the stage immediately. And because when I was praying, I was like, oh God, what is this? Because I normally tell some of my workers, work me closely. Sometimes when we come to church, I'm deviating now, but let me just say, when we come to church and we are few, I normally call one of them and say, why are we small today? I will say, people did not come now. That's not what I want to know. You must be able to trace every success and every failure. If you can trace why we are big today, we can maintain that size or that number. You know what I'm saying? If you can trace why we are small today, we can make it not repeat itself. So when I saw that move, I was like, wow. I was praying. I was just praying, what's happening? And the Lord opened my eyes and I had a vision. And in that vision, I saw over 80% or 90% of people in the church in their different houses. They were praying for service and they were specifically praying for the move of the Spirit in the service. So I came up to him, then I asked, how many of you here you prayed for the move of the Spirit before, specifically for the move of the Spirit, as in everybody in church, apart from like two or three persons? You get the point? You notice, that's why I said, you create the kind of meeting you want to have in the place of prayer. So pray for every service. Are you still here? Pray for every service. Then, in coming to church, one other way to come to church or to honor church meetings is to remind people you've invited and if need be, come with them. In fact, I used to tell you guys, the best way to come to church is come with someone. That is not just a slogan. It is true. In the church, we should come together to church. Look at Psalm 55 verse 14. Psalm 55 verse 14. He said, what good fellowship we once enjoyed as we walked together to the house of God. You see, Samuel was talking. The way he put it in the King James, he said, we took sweet counsel to God's house, the house of God. So they walked together. So God expects us to come to church together. Psalm 55 verse 14. So it shouldn't be church alone. You should not come to church alone. You must always come. So ask your neighbor, or ask yourself rather, always, is there anybody I'm taking sweet counsels, you know, with as I'm going to church? So as I've got, look out for people. Are you still coming? Come with people to church. Remind them, but it's not just a means to grow our church. It's a way to be, it's a proper behavior, it's a good behavior in the church. How many of you know that it was Barnabas that brought Saul to church? I've told you that, right? When Saul got saved, it was Barnabas that brought him into the church. So we look out for unbelievers or believers that are young, that are just, that you can bring them to church. You find this thing I said now in Acts chapter 9, I think it was 25. It was Barnabas that brought him to church. At another time Paul left, Barnabas went to seek him and brought him back. That's Acts 11. I get the point. So you must do this, okay? Then, thirdly, I'm going to say how to honor church meetings. Please come prepared to learn and to receive. What that means is, how do you know that you are prepared to learn? It depends on how you come. That means you must be in church with your Bible. You must be in church with your pen. You must be in church with your writing material. Some of us come with iPad, iPhone, tablets. That's okay. That's okay. But, you know the but? You see, it's not just about airplane mode, because some of you put your phone on airplane mode and you're watching pictures in church. If you know, see, there's no point for me no Yibo. If you know it distracts you, as it most times does, buy notes. What will happen if you write? Buy notes, pen. Hallelujah. So that it will not be tomorrow when you lose that phone. What happens to your jottings? What happens to those things you've written down? You see, that's why even in buying notes, I advise you don't buy all these. Buy notes. You've seen my notes. You know, I started carrying all those. You notice, it's almost a, everybody's carrying big notes. You know how I started that was, I found that I was making a lot of notes and they were getting lost. I can tell you, from since I started buying that notes, I have about four or so at home already filled. My kids will read it. I will show them what their daddy was doing when he was young. He was preparing message, writing. See, buy notes and write. You can start today. You get the point? It mustn't, all this iPhone, unless, well, if you're using, except maybe with, you're using your iPad or so, and then you can be able to back up those notes on iCloud. You know it's done. So you can back it up on Google Drive too, hoping that the internet will not crash one day. Trusting God that it will not crash one day. So such things. But then, in fact, I was telling them in church here, if you must use your phone for jotting, buy a phone as Bible and as jotter. Just that. You see, you don't have the money. Why not buy pen? Buy pen and buy book. What are you doing? You're typing. You see, but I'm not against any of them. What I'm saying is you must be taking notes. Hallelujah. You come with your Bible. You see, we have a screen here that projects our scriptures, but then you must always learn to open your Bible too. You get the point? That's why I normally say, remember my instruction. What's the instruction again? Open your Bible before you write. When I call something, open your Bible, then you write. You have to learn how to open your Bible. So come prepared. You see, for instance, I want to show that you are prepared. You know sometimes you can fast towards a meeting. How many of you do that? You learn it. But there's always come. Sometimes you are fast towards away. A day or two is away. Be on fast. Sometimes come to church meetings like that. Fast ahead of the meeting. And sometimes if I'm running a series now, like now, we're on a series, part one, part two, and next Sunday we're going to be teaching on part three. Before that next Sunday comes, refer to the previous messages. Go over your notes. If you have them, listen to them before you come. Prepare. You are coming to class. Remember, you should be in church as a student. Remember? You're coming to class. This is a training center. I hope you know. We are training you. I told you guys when church started, I never wanted to name this place Platform of Grace Church. What I was calling it, I said it was Platform of Grace Teaching Center. I mean, training center, yes. That's, I said, we are here to train people. Well, we are not a training center, we are a church. Because the training center is limiting. Remember I explained that now? It's limiting. It just shows like it removes family from whatever. We're a church. We're not saying we're not a church. But then, we are still here to train you. So come with your pen and write materials. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, then, another way to come to church, of course, I've said this before. Prepare your offering ahead of time. This part of it is where people have a difficult time. Offering time, blessing time. Bring your offering. Now, when they say bring out your offering, you should already have what you give as offering in mind before you come. That's maturity. Okay, I'm going to give 5,000 naira as offering. I'm going to give 5,000 naira. And some of us that are here, you don't want to come with the offering cash. You can transfer it to the account. I'm telling you. You know, prepare these things ahead of time. Plan. So that you don't wait to say offering time. And that's at the end. Yeah. Now, I understand that sometimes you don't have money, but I don't even want to be talking about that. So I'm not saying if you don't have money, don't come to church. Don't hear what I did not say. But I'm saying you always have money. Amen? You will always have. As I'm saying, you will always have. So you prepare your offering ahead of time. You see, that place we read in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. He said, first of the week, set aside a portion. Hear the point? Set aside a portion. First of every week, set aside, I'm going to give this. I'm going to give that offering. You see, do that. Do that. Let me leave all these things and then get straight to some of that stuff. Of course, one other way to honor the meeting is to be punctual. Punctual. If you know you were in this hall by 8 o'clock, you've come here by 8 o'clock. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. You've come here by 8 o'clock.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.